Grace to you in peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. There's an old proverb that states, if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, and looks like a duck, it must be a duck. In Jesus' famous words on the Sermon on the Mount, he said, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. And in Jeremiah 13, the Lord asked these questions. He said, can the Ethiopian change his skin? Or can the leopard change its spots? Neither can you, who are accustomed to doing evil, do good. What's the point of all this? Just this. People and things are who and what they are. And they do what they do. A good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. An apple tree brings forth apples, and a pear tree brings forth pears. Satan can come to us disguised as an angel of light, but his words will not be true, nor can they be true. Because he was a liar from the beginning and is in fact the father of lies. When he lies, he simply speaks his native language. And thus we come to that old adage that we were probably all taught when we were children, actions speak louder than words. That's why James in his epistle stated that he would show you his faith by what he did. That's why John stated that we should love others not just with mere words, but with our actions. And that's why Jesus stated that he would separate the sheep from the goats when he returns on the last day, and that they would easily be identifiable to him simply by what they did and didn't do. Actions speak the underlying truth. Anyone can campaign for honesty and integrity, but can you live it? Anyone can pretend to be a good person for a while, can masquerade around as a sheep for a period of time. But as time rolls on and as circumstances change, can the wolf continue to live as a sheep? Or does his wolf nature eventually come out? No matter what a person does or doesn't say, the true measure of his character and the true witness to his identity is in the actions of his life. Which brings us to our gospel reading this morning. As I mentioned at the beginning of service today, John the Baptist was in prison. He had spent the better part of his adult life preparing the world to receive Jesus as the Messiah sent from God. He had sacrificed his own life and his own future and his own happiness in dedication to this one cause. And yet the Romans were still in power. And Herod continued to live in sin. And he, John, continued to sit in a stinky, dark prison. And as he sat in that prison cell, he couldn't help but wonder if perhaps he had made a mistake. If perhaps he had wasted his life. if maybe all that time he had been pointing people in the wrong direction. And so he sent some of his disciples to Jesus to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come? Or should we be looking for somebody else?" It's interesting, isn't it, how our perspective of things changes when we are under duress. Trusting in the Lord is easy when the bills are all paid, when the kids are healthy, when the job is going great. But what about when there's a layoff at work, or an illness, or a shortfall of money? Being a person of integrity is easy when the boss is watching, but not so much so when he's out of the office and you're having a hard time making ends meet. Being faithful to your spouse is easy when you're young and in love, but it becomes increasingly difficult when the love and the passion are nowhere to be found. And believing in Jesus as the Messiah is easy when you're free to roam the countryside and to teach and to preach as you feel led by the Spirit. But it's oh so difficult when you're rotting away in a prison cell. And so John became confused. Was Jesus the Messiah or not? Had John promoted and pointed to the wrong man? Was Jesus the one who was to come? Or should he look for and hope for another? You know, Jesus could have answered John's question with four little words. He could have just said to his disciples, "Yes, I am he." But he didn't. Perhaps because those, again, would have just been words. And as we all know, words are cheap and they're easy to come by. So Jesus pointed to something more, something with substance, something that offered definitive proof as to his identity. He pointed John's disciples to the actions of his life. He said, "Go back and tell John, report to him what you hear and what you see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cured. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the good news is preached to the poor." In other words, check out my life. Check out my actions. They speak for themselves. Everything that the prophets foretold that the Messiah would do, I have done. And thus I am he. And that's how we can be sure that Jesus is our Savior also. Because he died on a cross and he rose from a grave. It's there at the cross and the empty grave that we get the definitive proof and the demonstration of God's great love for us. We live in God's favor and we have God's forgiveness. And we know that to be true because of what he did there. Now I know, like John, when we go through those tough times, It is sometimes very difficult to recognize Jesus as our Lord and as our Savior. In those times of trouble, words of His love for us and His favor over us, those words seem rather empty and unsatisfying. And that's why we need to always go back and look to His actions. We look to the manger. And we see the one who gave up His throne in heaven to come down to this world and to live the life of a carpenter. We look to His ministry. And we see the one who could have been served by the masses, but instead gave Himself to serve the masses. We looked at the cross and the grave to see the one who could have simply avoided death, but who instead gave Himself to suffer and then to overcome death. Jesus' actions bear witness to His identity, and His actions bear witness to His love. You see, everything He did for us, that we would be saved. And thus, as life's pressures bear down upon you, and as you go through those times sometimes where you begin to question His love for you, and you wonder if He is really there for you, I would encourage you always to remember His actions. He lived. He died. He rose again for you. Regardless of your life situation, the proof of Jesus' identity and His love for you is bound up in what He did. You see, if He walks like the Savior, and He talks like the Savior, and He died and He rose like the Savior, He must be the Savior. It's that simple. To God be the glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Savior. Amen.